This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and me, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, you got.
All right, everybody, get your head right. This is a Tuesday morning, and Odd Thomas is running the board today. Odd Thomas, I sound like I'm in the shower. What's that? Do we know? There's a button Paul hits. I don't know which button. Oh, that sounds better. That sounds better.
Pre-delay.
That sounds better. A little better.
Nothing changed on my end. You sounded phenomenal.
Oh, did I?
The entire time.
You know, like the little reverb echo.
I used to work for a guy that was so annoying in the morning. And he'd be like, he would always say, this drove me crazy. I just started radio. Woodsy, you don't understand, okay? I'm an audiophile. I'm an audio, like, I can hear the slightest. And now, guess what? Guess who the a-hole is right now?
You.
Me. I'm the a-hole after a decade. I'm the a-hole. Guys, Thomas, Hammer, I'm an audiophile. Good morning, everybody. It is Ben and Woods. It's 97.3 The Fan. And my co-host, Ben Higgins, who, by the way, if you missed it on Thanksgiving, had the chance to anchor on 10 News. Normally, your friendly neighborhood sports guy, and got a chance to anchor. Guy knocked it out of the park. He really, really did. I was so nervous for him. And he looked great up there, and he had the great newsman head nod. Very proud of Ben Higgins. And very happy that I hitched my wagon to the Ben Higgins star, right?
Oh, yeah. Scottie Pippen to that Michael
There's
Jordan.
There's no doubt, dude.
You better not leave.
Hey, you know what? Scottie Pippen, like... Yeah, he's not Michael Jordan, but guy still
good.
Got rings, made some money, had some respect.
He's like the second name you think of when you say Michael.
Michael and Scotty. That's Ben and Woods. I'm totally happy. Now, I've hitched my wagon before. Didn't work out. This is one I told Ben, because Ben will be the mayor of some, he'll probably Encinitas someday. I fully, fully expect that. I will be his right-hand man, whether he likes it or not. He'll have a job. It will be one of those, it'll be like the Padres. It'll be like, hey, I know you. I'm going to bring in my buddy. Well, he has no political experience. It doesn't matter. It's my guy. I'm going down with my guy.
I don't think the city of Encinitas will allow this.
You don't think so?
No, not with
me. I have a...
With Ben, 100%.
Oh, dude, it's a no-brainer.
You, on the other hand, like being his right-hand man, I wouldn't... If I was like a civilian in Encinitas, I'd be freaking out.
Well, listen, I would be the guy that would take a lot of the punches and keep a lot of crap off of his desk. Like, hey, you got to go through me first.
Yeah, but your ideas, you'd be trying to tell Ben these, like, wild ideas
it's
what
true.
Encinitas should do as a city.
That's true. That is true. The voice you hear there is our assistant producer, Alex Perlin, a.k.a. The Hammer, a.k.a. Big Daddy, a.k.a. Pearls, a.k.a. Did I forget anyone?
No, I think you got him.
Got them all? Lots of nicknames.
Mom's favorite.
What's your mom? What?
I'm my mom's favorite.
That's
a big one in our house.
Yeah. I have no.
Mom's favorite.
Mom's favorite. How many
favorite.
Brothers and sisters do you have?
Older brother, younger sister. So I'm the middle child.
Middle child.
Defeating stereotypes every single day.
Yeah, you are definitely your mom's favorite. You can see it. I've met you both. I've seen the way you guys interact. You guys work together at Nordstrom the show every day. If you don't know, if you're listening for the first time. And then we've got Odd Thomas today. I still don't know why they call him Odd Thomas. He's not an odd guy.
There's so many other cool nicknames. Like Thomas the Little Train That Could.
No, that's terrible. Odd Thomas rolls off the tongue better, I think. But I don't know why they call you Odd Thomas.
Chris Ello.
Yeah. Coined this.
It's a Dean Koontz book.
That's right.
And he one day said, and I was giving us a segment of odd baseball facts and stuff. And he was like, oh, you know, there's a book called Odd Thomas by Dean Koontz. And there you go.
It stuck with you. All right. So Odd Thomas filling in today for Paul Reindl, who's at Disneyland with his girlfriend, Megan, and they're having a great time. I've been seeing them on Twitter. They look so happy.
How can you not be at Disneyland, though?
Dude, I know. It's so true, and they have that thing. They've been together 7 months, right?
Like Hammer, honeymoon still.
It's the honeymoon. Oh, you guys, we all are in relationships.
Yep.
We all are here on Ben and Woods. And serious relationships. You live with your wife or girlfriend?
Girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
3 years. So.
You've been with your girlfriend, Hammer? Oh, God.
I hate
you. Oh, God.
Well, you always put on a spot. I hate this.
She doesn't listen back, does she?
Sometimes she does. It depends kind of really on the day.
Yeah.
So I'm just fingers crossed.
But so how long have you been with a girlfriend? It's not a hard question.
Yeah, it is, if you don't know the exact answer. So
long enough.
Guesstimate. More than a year.
Yeah.
Less than two?
Less than two. More than a year.
Long distance relationship.
Stashed
Hammer is
away
in
Vegas.
Yeah, she's in Vegas, which is the last place I would stash my girlfriend ever.
Not the best thing.
It's not the greatest
I can't
idea.
Go back now.
No, no, you can't. And then I am married. I've been married for 2 years to a lovely, lovely woman named Hannah, mother of my child, Beau, who is a 100% complete psychopath. There is no... We are in that stage now of, F you, I won't do what you tell me. My kid is a little version of Rage Against the Machine.
How old is he?
He'll be 2 in February. So he's almost 2. Now, everyone says, oh, the terrible twos, the terrible twos. I'm like, we're not even at 2 yet. Hopefully this is the terrible twos, because I'll tell you this, he's terrible. He is terrible.
He's
right
also
now.
The cutest kid in the galaxy.
Which
so.
He gets a pass. This means he gets a pass. It's unfortunate the way the world works. Attractive people get away with more. They just do. And he's going to be one of those kids. My wife and I had this conversation lying in bed last night. And I said, I'm actually quite concerned because he doesn't respond to discipline at all. At all. Like, and there's nothing that scares him. So I'll go, Bo, no. Hey, no. A finger in his face.
Oh, no, not the finger.
No. He looks at me, smirks, and does whatever I asked him not to. He does it again. I'm like, Bo, I go, do you want a spanking? Which I'm not going to spank my kid, but, you know, you threaten him with violence. I think that's okay. Bo, you want a spanking? Yes. Yes. He says yes. I go, go stand. I go, you want
I'm saying the same thing. I go, too, at 27. I'm just saying.
That's fair enough. I said, you want to go to your room? Yes. I don't know what to do. I really am at a loss. I am praying that it's just a phase. Then nighttime comes and it's time to go to bed. Da-da, rock, rock, da-da. And I'm like, okay. And I put him in my lap and I rock him and we listen to music. And he's like, he nuzzles his little head. And I'm like, you own me, dude. You absolutely, you manipulative little SOB. You own my ass, right? There's no doubt about it. So
and you realize it's just going to get worse and worse.
Yeah, dude. I mean, they always say, you know, your parents say, oh, just wait. Just wait. You're going to have one just like you. And I know I was probably the same way.
I hope I got a little kid like me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what we all want. We don't raise a kid in the best parts of us, not the worst parts.
I wasn't a bad
parts.
Kid.
I was a terrible kid.
I never gave my parents attitude because my brother was the absolute worst child. Like, whatever Bo sounds like, that's what my brother was. And he would just completely give my parents attitude. So growing up, and I would see this, I'd be like, how could you ever talk to mom like that?
And what does he do for a living now?
He's a lawyer.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's a terrible human being. He never stopped.
Do you guys have a relationship, you and your brother?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Good.
He is also my best friend.
Yeah.
But probably because he's a terrible human being, so we get each other.
What kind of attorney is he?
He's real estate.
Real estate attorney?
Yeah.
Does he bank?
I assume so. He drives a BMW i8, which he looks like Batman when he hops out. He's one of those doors where it lifts
Shut
up. Yeah. Yeah, like whatever. Oh, like a Lambo. Man. It flies away when he opens it.
Unbelievable.
He's the best.
That's incredible.
Also the worst.
Is he married?
No. Very single. Like, dude, the guy understands the way of life and he's just living it.
I'd like to have... Does he live in town?
Yeah. He would never come on air.
Why?
That's just not my guy. My brother's like the complete opposite of me. Like, I like to view myself as kind of like a positive, very light guy.
Yeah.
He's more like Batman, like legit, like everything
quiet.
He has is black. He's very quiet, down to earth.
How much older is he than you?
He is 2 years older. Yeah.
Okay.
And all my sister's 2 years younger.
Okay. And what is her story? What does she do?
Bro, I'm going to sound like a terrible brother. I don't really know what my sister does for a living. I have no clue. I couldn't even tell you the gist of it. I think she's somewhat of a recruiter. I just know that she's just the most outgoing personality of all time.
And she lives here in San Diego as well?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I mean,
you can't
I'd
get us out of here.
I'd like to meet the Perlins.
Sister would love to come on the
radio. Have
them
up anytime.
My brother, not a chance.
My brother either. I have a little brother, Brent, back in Dallas, does commercial real estate, makes bank, wife, 2 kids, the whole bit. But you put him on the air, he'd be terrible on the air. Terrible. You give him a few drinks, he'd be good. You know, but other than that, he'd be awful. But I'd love to meet, like, Ben has a brother. I've met him, I think, once. I mean, I'd like to get the families, you know, more involved. I'm a big family guy. As you know, I'm a big fan of the Mafia.
Oh, me too.
Hammer. So we should have our own little Ben and Woods Mafia here if we don't already.
I think we do.
I think that was kind of the knock on us when we were coming over to 97.3 The Fan, that we were the Ben and Woods Mafia. And that's okay. And you've been indoctrinated into it now. And I was telling Odd Thomas this morning, I said, man, I'll tell you, Hammer, since we joined in the show, has really brought a lot to the table.
What was that phase of, like, initiation for me? You know, like, in The Sopranos, their initiation phase? And just how intense it is?
Yeah, I think...
I didn't actually have one. I think there needs to be, like, some initiation where it's like, yo.
No, I think...
Give me a hoodie or something.
I think we were pretty accepting from the get-go.
You hated me at the get-go.
No, I didn't hate you.
You admitted on this show that you hated me.
No.
You said, there's no way that I'm going to be a fan of this Hammer character.
I said that when I was at the old station. And then I met you, and I was like, this guy's great. So, no indoctrination. We didn't have to prick your finger. None of that. I mean, we can if you want.
I want to shed some blood at some point.
We could have a making ceremony, like where they get made.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'd do it right now on the air. Somebody go get me a pin.
Like a brand me or something?
No, I'll just prick your finger and I'll give you the speech. We should do that bit on the air. That's a good bit. A making ceremony. You got to wear a suit, the whole bit.
I can find a suit.
Let's do it. All right, so weird week here on Ben and Woods. Thank you guys, obviously, for tuning in. We're all over the place this morning just because that's what we do. We're just trying to get warmed up too, man. I know people are getting up early and listening. So we got a weird week. So Producer Paul is out today. He's out tomorrow. Odd Thomas filling in, which is great. Then Thursday, Ben is off. I'm here. Hammer's here. Paul's back. Friday, Ben's back. So it's a little bit wacky. Ben had to take a vacation day. No big deal.
Just one.
Thursday. On a Thursday. Like,
consummate professional.
Consummate professional.
Paul took a vacation on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
That's smart, though, because you got to go to Disneyland during the week.
That's exactly
where
right.
It's not as packed.
That's exactly
the weekends
right.
It's like a zombie apocalypse.
Hammer, we have a solicitation on Twitter.
I don't know what that means.
Somebody's asking a question.
Oh, okay.
Our girl, Friar Gal, she was in here a couple weeks ago,
she's
asks,
really nice.
Would Hammer's brother like to be cougared?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, if I have to start taking names down, I will. That's kind of the point of being a brother. You've got to always be the wingman as well.
I love it. Well, maybe on Thursday, we can do a making ceremony. And if for those of you that don't know what it means to be made, it's when you're...
Like the MTV show?
No, God, no. Like the absolute opposite of that. We can do a making ceremony like they do in the Mafia, and we can officially make you as a member of the Ben and Woods.
That
would be amazing. It would be such a good video. And you have to take the picture of the saint in your hands. I get to light it on fire, and you rub your hands together.
Okay.
Let's do it. I'm serious. Let's make you on Thursday. Do you own a suit?
Yeah, of course I have.
All right, I'm going to have you wear it on Thursday. We'll make you as an official member of Ben & Woods. I really want to do this bit, too. I'm not kidding. Coming up next, we had Matt Pauly on. Now, couple of interesting moves by the Padres last week as we were getting ready for break. We wanted to have a guy on from Milwaukee where we're rating their team, essentially, at this point, and wanted to get some info about the guys that are coming over. Trent Grisham, you know, we know a little bit about Drew Pomeranz. But wanted to, you know, talk about Luis Urias going to them and Eric Lauer going to them. So Matt Pauly does pre and post for the Brewers. We had him on yesterday. If you missed it, you love the Padres, you're going to want to hear this. Obviously, another move by the Pods yesterday that we will delve into when Ben gets here. But coming up next, it's our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight with Matt Pauly. We'll be right back. It's Ben and Woods. 97.3 The Fan, it's Ben and Woods. It is a Tuesday. And I know we will be talking some baseball today. Probably take some phone calls, too. Kind of a bit of a head-scratcher, I think, when it first came down. Nothing that we didn't really foresee coming. I mean, this was one of the names that we kicked around last week as a guy we really thought would end up here, and he did yesterday. It finally got done. I saw some really funny tweets about it. And we'll get into that because that's what we do on Ben and Woods. We love to talk baseball. That's our sweet spot. And thank you guys for listening, as usual. And speaking of talking baseball, look, hopefully there's a lot more of these to come, where we are breaking down moves, we're analyzing new players that are going to make up the Padres lineup in 2020. As, you know, the window, I think, is officially open for the San Diego Padres. Enough. Enough is enough. It's time to get a winning team out on that field. It's time for us to be broadcasting from a friggin' playoff game at a bar next year, getting drunk with fans, having fun. you know, watching a playoff game, man, getting that atmosphere in San Diego that we have sorely missed. So that's what we're doing. We're doing our homework on all of these new guys, and we had Matt Pauly, does Brewers pre- and post-game, okay? We had him on our show yesterday. We'll play that for you here. It's our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight. Matt Pauly, Matt, thank you for surviving all those prize giveaway reads.
We're out of time.
Matt, thank you. We're out of time. It was great talking to you, and we'll catch up during the season, all right?
Yeah, I'm excited about what you guys are giving away there. It sounded good.
Just, do we have to do it all at once? Apparently we do.
That's amazing.
So, Matt, it was right Wednesday. We were just about to go off the air for the holiday weekend when we learned about the Padres-Brewers trade. Luis Urias and Eric Lauer going to Milwaukee. Zach Davies and Trent Grisham coming to San Diego. What was your just initial reaction when you heard that deal?
It seemed like two teams that are planning to compete next year that were trying to fill some holes on each side. That's where trades are supposed to be in Major League Baseball. And that was my first inclination. I know the Padres had some needs that they were trying to fill there. And from a Brewers standpoint, they weren't real happy with what they were getting in the infield last year. So it's one of those trades that if all goes well, it should be able to help both teams.
Yeah, we kind of feel the same way. I mean, I you know, we don't know much about the guys that we're getting back, just like you guys probably don't know a heck of a lot about the guys that you're getting back. I love this idea of the information exchange, you know, between teams. So fill us in, though, on when you talk about the infield, because you guys do have some pretty good prospects in the infield. Luis Urias, by all reports, I don't know if you heard the same thing, expected to play shortstop for the Brewers. Is that what you're hearing as well?
Yeah, the organization was not happy with Orlando Arcia's offensive production this past year. And this is a guy who was one of the top prospects in the organization, but has been with the Brewers for a few years now and just has been very inconsistent from an offensive standpoint. Defensively, he's one of the best shortstops in Major League Baseball. But I don't know if he's going to be on the roster when spring training comes. It would not surprise me to see the Brewers maybe make another trade where they're able to spin off Arcia. I feel like maybe this trade with the Padres was the first of multiple moves that are going to be made here in the offseason. But they went in this offseason trying to clean things up at shortstop, and that's what they're hoping they're able to do with this move.
So you can look at the numbers on the back of the baseball card, and Woods, you know what I'm talking about. They tell a story, and an important one.
Sure.
But you can also watch a guy play and pitch throughout the year and form your own impressions. I'm curious about, Matt, your impressions about Zach Davies. The numbers are certainly good. The pitcher that the Padres are getting really good, actually, from last year. I mean, had a career season. But when you watch him through the year, what kind of pitcher would you describe him as?
Yeah, it's really simple with Zach Davies. When he has fastball command, he's one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. He doesn't always have his fastball command, and when he doesn't, that's when he runs into a little bit of trouble because he'll play his changeup off of his fastball, and his changeup is just a debilitating pitch when he does have the fastball going. Again, his fastball is going to hit 86, 87, 88 on a good day. So he's never going to throw it by you. But when he's got good control of his pitches, he'll throw a sinker in there as well. He can be really good. The problem is sometimes he runs into these bouts of inconsistency, and it has everything to do with him not controlling the pitches. I'm telling you, when this year with the Padres, on days that he has bad days, you're going to look at what he did, and you're going to see that he was not having command of the zone.
Such interesting stuff. I mean, such great insight to look forward to. We're talking to Matt Pauly, does Brewers pre- and post-game for WTMJ in Milwaukee. And now moving on to Trent Grisham. I mean, anybody that watched the playoffs, you know the name Trent Grisham. I remember...
Unfortunately,
yeah. I remember coming in the next morning and defending this kid and you know, having played baseball. He made the right play. He just didn't execute it the right way. But that was a do-or-die play that he made. And... Does that have anything to do with the fact that he was traded off? I did see fans on Twitter like, hey, we were never going to forgive him for that, and it's good that he's gone. What are your impressions of this kid? You've covered him.
Yeah, great kid. I don't think there's any connection between that play and the wild card game and him getting moved. You know, one of my favorite moments was he was emotionally affected by that. Clearly the winning run scored on that play, and he's a young guy. He's replacing Christian Yelich, and he was brought to emotion in the clubhouse after the game. And a lot of the team leaders, Mike Moustakas, Ryan Braun, they all went up to him after the game and kind of said a few words quietly. And then he stood up, and the media came in, and he answered every single question. He looked the reporters in the eyes.
He crushed it that night.
From, Yeah, he's from a military family. He goes about his business in the right way, made some mechanical tweaks this past year going into his minor league season, added a little bit of power. I'm excited about him. Everybody who covers this team really likes him and wants to see him do well. And we're just hoping that what he did this past season, because it was a breakout year for him, to all of a sudden break through in the minor leagues and then get that opportunity because of the Christian Yelich injury. The one gamble there is, it's kind of a one-year sort of deal, right? Like, this isn't a track record. His minor league numbers were so-so up until this past season, even though he was with Top Prospect. But the mechanical adjustments he made before this past season really seemed to work, especially from a power standpoint.
Yeah, you make a good point. He is a former first-round draft pick, but it wasn't the traditional, you know, arc where the guy is, hey, he's just killing it from the second he gets to the minors and makes a quick rise up through the minor leagues. What were those struggles that he had before those tweaks, as you called them, this past year?
Yeah, you know what? He hasn't talked a whole lot about exactly what he's done. I think it's just some really small things, but it was the power is what really came. He was not hitting for any power. And then now the skeptics out there will say, well, at AAA this past year, they started using the Major League ball, and we know everything about how the Major League ball was supposedly juiced this past year. So they'll say that's where the power came from. But really, even at AA, he had a nice start to the season at AA, and that's what got him to AAA. And the power was the big thing. And once that power came along, all of a sudden, you really viewed him as a different kind of player.
Yeah, we're excited about him here. I mean, you know, I've seen some national pundits, you know, saying, well, he may be a fourth outfielder. Do you believe he's a guy that's a piece and a start, you know, in the starting nine? Do you think he's that for the Padres?
I think he will be. I don't know if he is right at the beginning
right.
of the season. He's still a young guy. I mean, he's got 50 games of major league experience. So I don't know if I assume the Padres are going to go into spring training and have him competing for a job. But I would be surprised if a year from now, 2 years from now, he is not an everyday outfielder.
You know, it's funny, Matt. The Brewers certainly seem like their window is still open. I mean, they're coming off a playoff appearance last year. Gotten word over the weekend that Josh Hader could be on the trade market. What are the Brewers looking for, and what's kind of the impetus behind those reports in your mind?
Yeah, I think they want a lot. I would personally be surprised if they traded Hader. I wouldn't be shocked, but I would be surprised. He's coming up. This is his first year of being able to get arbitration money, so he's going to get a huge raise. He's probably going to get as big of a raise as anybody in all of baseball who's arbitration eligible. The Brewers are still a small market team, so when you're paying guys, you got to make that decision on are they more valuable on the Brewers roster, or is it more valuable what you can possibly get back for them? If they were to trade Josh Hader, especially with the years of club control, it would be a haul. The minor league system for the Brewers is really struggling right now. They made a bunch of trades 2 seasons ago, especially going back to the Christian Yelich trade. So a trade with Josh Hader would have to, A, get you some big-time minor league prospects, and B, also bring you in players who can compete at the major league level. It would be a huge trade.
And I almost forgot, because it wasn't part of the trade,
right,
but Drew Pomeranz did have his resurgence those last couple of months with the Milwaukee Brewers out of their bullpen before the Padres signed him on Wednesday to a 4-year deal. Talk about the small sample size turnaround. I mean, Pomeranz had struggled badly before that. What did you see with him, and how shocked were you at that deal, and do you think the Padres are going to regret it, or are they getting a top-flight bullpen arm in your mind?
I think they're getting a really good bullpen arm. Look, this is a guy who he finally got the role. It was not maybe you'll be a starter, maybe you'll be a reliever. He was a relief pitcher. He was able to focus on being a relief pitcher. You don't have to throw as many pitches, you know, as far as assortment of pitches when you're just out there for an inning or so. I think if they keep him as a bullpen pitcher, I think he's going to be in really, really good shape as a bullpen arm.
Well, Matt, really appreciate it. I know there's still a lot of more moves coming up this offseason, but we'll certainly have a little extra intrigue when the Padres and Brewers square off in the 2020 season. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
You bet. Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Matt Pauly, very cool pre- and post-game show host for Milwaukee Brewers baseball. So I just walked in.
Yeah, you did.
That was our interview with Matt Pauly from WTMJ yesterday. And now I have a question for you, Woods.
Shoot.
I had thought all this time that you went the extra mile when you came in. You got your headphones, you set up my headphones.
Oh, I forgot today, sorry.
Did you?
Yeah, I forgot.
Because it's suspicious that you forget the day that Paul's not here. It makes me think that Paul's been the one
no.
doing it.
Paul had no idea. I just forgot.
You just forgot to do it today.
Yeah, you know, we got Odd Thomas filling in for Paul.
I appreciate it. I don't think I ever told you how much I appreciate it. Just not having to find, you know, unwrap them all. Just have them right there, ready to go, already plugged in as I walked in.
I'm a little scatterbrained today. I'll be 100%. The kid wouldn't sleep last night, and it throws me for a loop. And so he was up late, and so I'm a little scatterbrained today, and I did not do your headphones. I'm very... very sorry.
Because I do believe last time I was here, he was like, oh, I'm going to be nice to Ben, and I'm going to leave his headphones
out. I think that's when it started.
Wow.
I think that's when it started. And I just, it's
and
something.
This is also when it ended. Then.
Yes, apparently, when Thomas
was here for the beginning and ending of an era.
Yes.
Of Woods setting
sorry,
up
Ben.
Ben's headphones every morning.
I will, I'll make sure to get back at it tomorrow.
You don't have to. It's,
no, I like
I consider it above and beyond, like extra service, not required in your job duties.
Yes.
But I have always appreciated it.
It is a nice bit that I do. I try to be nice. I forgot, though. Sorry. It happens.
Little things are nice.
Little things are nice.
All right. Well, we've got a Paul-free show, but he did set up some good guests. We should have some good topics, considering the Padres made a trade yesterday. We'll get into that. Opinions, Monday Night Football. We got Hammer Time coming up next in our 5 a.m. hour. So let's get started. It is Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. Yes.
With Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Way down inside, honey, Ben and Woods, Tuesday morning at 97.3 The Fan. I get a good show for you today. Tony Mejia, our basketball guy, is going to be with us at 6:35. Brian Dutcher, head coach of the San Diego State Aztecs, are going to be along at 7:35 this morning. He was going to be on at 8, but I guess he's got a dentist appointment at 8. So
it's important, man. Oral health is very important.
Are you a... I was always terrified of the dentist.
Well, you know my new bit. Last year, I started going back to the dentist hardcore. And I now get my teeth cleaned every 90 days instead of twice a year.
90 days?
And I went back in a couple weeks ago, and she goes, oh, I can see you've really been keeping it up. And Jesse Agler had this similar tweet yesterday, Padres, voice of the Padres. He said, I can't tell you the delight it gives me as a grown man to leave. Hey, keep up the good work. You're really doing – I went home and told my wife. I was at a sticker. I was so happy.
I floss every day. I try to take good care of my teeth, but definitely always had the big time nerves when
I
go to the dentist.
Oh, I take I might take something before I go.
Oh.
Every time. Prescribed. It's prescribed. But I take maybe
it's not totally unusual MO for you.
When in doubt, Ben, better living through chemistry is kind of my has always been my motto. All legal, by the way.
I was always floored when Ted Leitner would talk about not going to the dentist for 25 years because he was he was scared and just made him so nervous.
Now, I wonder, like my dentist now, if you want laughing gas, nitrous oxide, you have to. It's like extra. I feel like it was either our parents just paid a lot of money for our dental appointments when we were kids, or they've made this like it's almost like a fun addition, but you have to pay for it. But there's few things I like more in the world than laughing gas. It is maybe the greatest thing ever.
I haven't done it. I don't like the feeling of being uncomfortable even like with the laughing gas.
I
don't
want
to be out of control.
You're not out of control. What do you think you're doing?
You're not in control at all in a dentist chair. You're very much out of control no matter what.
So you're out of control and not having
there's
control
some of
are
the
two
tools
different things.
In your mouth. You are not in control of that situation.
Out of control means your pants are around your ankles and you're doing the tuck back and you're running around the office. Not having control is lying there at their mercy. So if you're going to lie there at their mercy, might as well be on some nitrous oxide as you do it. Now, there's something called sedation dentistry. I've never actually done it. Where they knock you out. Now, that's how I want to do it. I want them to knock me out like a surgery. I wake up at home, my wife lovingly caring for me as I get my teeth cleaned.
That seems a little extreme just to get your teeth cleaned. I do mine every 4 months. You know, I'm on television. I try to keep them in good shape. But 90 days is extreme. You do have nice teeth.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Did you ever have braces?
I did.
You did?
I did. We were talking about that last night with the kid. He's got the Nancarrow gap. You know, it's called a diastema, the little space, right?
Michael Strahan.
Yeah, the Strahan. Yeah, he's got that. Where I'm looking at his mouth last night, going, "Yeah, it's going to be $20,000." Do they even do braces for kids anymore? They do like Invisalign and all that stuff.
I mean, my kids certainly they considered it, and I got fortunate and seemed to get out of it.
Both?
Yeah, neither of them.
You are kidding me.
No, and I didn't have him either. They gave me the option, which was, of course, the answer was no.
Absolutely not.
So, yeah, I've gotten out of it my whole life. Haven't had to pay for it.
That's amazing.
Have not had to experience
it. He'll need it. He's got a little crooked teeth, and he's got the gaps and all that. But, you know, listen, these are the first round of teeth. Once these start falling out, we'll see how they come in. But, yeah, we have really derailed this morning talking about oral health care.
We'll ask Brian Dutcher what he's going in for in a few minutes.
Yeah, what are you in for?
When he's with us at 7:35. I wasn't totally shocked that his team – I was a little bummed that his team didn't get ranked.
I think I was shocked after
an 8-0 start in the tournament. I thought maybe, oh, yeah, people are talking about the Aztecs not just here but around the country. And they came close. I think they were 28th, just outside of the top 25 in the Associated Press, a little bit below that in the coaches' poll. You know, honestly, it doesn't really matter. They take care of business. They keep winning games. They'll eventually be in the top 25.
Yeah, I mean, I want to ask Coach Dutcher, you know, it's so early. And I know, you know, especially in the college football rankings, God, fans of teams get so mad when, and it's like, look, this one does not matter right now. We're not in that crunch time of needing to be ranked. Sure, is it nice to be ranked? But we saw what happened with SDSU football. The minute they were ranked, they go out and lose. They're out. I mean, it's a blessing and a curse, I think.
What's more important are the are some of the metrics behind it.
Yes,
the BPI, the Ken Pomeroy numbers, because that's what the committee will look at. They won't look at the rankings. I mean, yeah, maybe that'll keep teams more on top of mind instead of out of mind at the end of the season. But ultimately, they will look at those matchups, the good wins, the road wins, the neutral court wins. Aztecs already have a good road win at BYU, two good neutral court wins. Those weigh heavier when the committee gets together to determine the field of 68 in case the Aztecs need an at-large bid. And it's been increasingly difficult for Mountain West teams to get at-large bids to the NCAA tournament. There's only, I think last year, only five teams outside of power conferences got at-large bids. Out of 68 teams in the field, five at-large bids outside of Power Five conferences. So, you know, if you don't win that conference tournament, which is 3 days in Vegas, and you wake up one morning and, you know, you guys just aren't feeling it after, you know, playing 2 days in a row, your season could be over.
Yeah, man.
And so, you know, it's important these games early in the season for them to build a resume, which is exactly what they're doing because, you know, they got to get back to March Madness after not being in it last year.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And excited to have Coach Dutcher. And always a great. I mean, the quick, like, just notice this. Think about this. If you're going to listen to that interview coming up at 7:35, Dutch is the quickest answerer ever. You better have a list of questions because bum, 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 done. Out. And there's no long, drawn-out explanations. Dutch is as about to the point as you can get.
I haven't noticed that about him.
No, watch him today.
All right.
That's great.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with being
I like
to the point.
That. I like that better.
I was watching Scott Van Pelt last night after Monday Night Football, and he did his one big thing on Mike Tomlin, and he kind of made a point about how precise Mike Tomlin, the coach of the Steelers, is with his words. Intelligent, but doesn't...
Measured and pointed.
Yeah, he doesn't run, you know, he's not run on sentences. He's not going to just blab up there and just say whatever comes into his head. He's got exactly what he wants to say. He's going to say it in not a Belichickian way, not, you know, not abrupt, not, you know, not trying to dismiss reporters, but he is not going to stray from the question that was asked. And if he doesn't want to answer, he'll just be direct and say, yeah, that's not something that I want to talk about at this time.
Yep.
You know, it's not just going to be on to Cincinnati, right, but he will be very direct about it. And Scott Van Pelt said, really, one of the things I respect a ton about the guy, he's a good communicator. Communicates with his players, communicates with the media. And they've been, frankly, I one of the impressive stories in football this season. I mean, think about, I don't know, this is the tangent segment. Think about losing Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, and then Ben Roethlisberger goes down for an injury. Everyone was thinking, oh, Steelers, this is going to be a 3-13 season.
Dead and buried, yeah.
Dead and buried. They're now 7-5.
Crazy.
They've won six out of their last seven, and they legit, they think they're holding on to the sixth spot, the last wild card spot in the AFC right now going into the final quarter of the season.
Yeah, they're getting it done. They're getting it done with you know, guys that, frankly, should not be getting the job done, and that is a huge direct reflection on the head coach. And the narrative certainly changed. Last year, with all the AB stuff and everything that was going down in Pittsburgh, it was Mike Tomlin has lost the Steelers. It's time for him to go. There were those rumors about him going to Washington, D.C., and working for that train wreck of a franchise. And, man, I'll tell you, what he's I don't know what he's done differently, but they cleared out a lot of the cancer, you know, that was in that locker room. He's brought his guys together, and they're winning football games they shouldn't win with guys that shouldn't be winning.
Yeah, instead of getting flexed out of games from primetime, they got flexed in.
Flexed in.
Yeah, they took the Chargers game away from primetime, not this Sunday, but next Sunday night, and moved the Steelers-Bills game into the primetime slot with two playoff contenders, you know, on the eastern part of the country.
They did not waste 1 second of before they flexed the Chargers.
Usually they do that on Mondays.
They do it on Monday. Bro, it was the Chargers lose that game, and it was like, you guys are out. We're flexing. We're flexing you guys so hard right now. Flexed them right out. Yet another embarrassing narrative for the Los Angeles Chargers.
No one hates that more than Al Michaels, who lives in Los Angeles and, you know, 10-minute drive to the Coliseum.
And now where's the game?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Okay. Yeah, Pittsburgh and Buffalo. I mean, 6-1, half dozen of the other.
Fly to the other side of the country.
Yeah.
Much better game, though.
Much better game.
It's always easier to do a better game.
Yeah, no doubt.
Tough, you know, bad teams make for difficult broadcasts,
yep.
I've always found. So we'll talk some NFL football, Monday Night Football playoff picture coming up, college football headlines, including Chris Peterson stepping down at the University of Washington yesterday, which is an interesting story in that he's not the first to do it. Think about other guys, Urban Meyer, Bob Stoops, in their 50s, seemingly at the top of the profession, at good schools, making huge money to coach college football and just saying, I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore. And you can have the cynical take and say, well, they're just biding their time for an even more lucrative job. But, I mean, they were already getting tons of money to do that job. And it's, you know, it's becoming such a grind on some of these coaches that they say, even for millions, there's only so many years I can do this, and then I have to back off. And that's what it looks like happened to Chris Peterson at the University of Washington.
And we've talked about it before, but it's pure speculation on my part. I often, you know, we always like to put ourselves in their shoes, and I got to imagine that the grind of being an NFL head coach is one thing, but the grind of being a college football coach, I think it would rip my stomach apart with the recruiting, the kids. I mean, look, there are absolute criminals in the NFL that you need to worry about on your team, but college kids are dumb. They do dumb stuff. When you go to bed at night, you're like, please God, I don't need text messages about one of my kids getting drunk and running from the cops or punching somebody or getting in a fight. Now, can still happen in the NFL. I get it. But I feel like it happens a lot less. But the grind of college football coach and the preparation, and you're hurting children essentially all the time. Yeah, man, there's only so much money that makes that okay.
And it's become such a 12-month job. I mean, college coaches basically have maybe a couple of weeks off, June.
Like 2 weeks.
You know, before
training
camp starts.
Then they hit the road, yeah.
Like right now is insane. Right now, if you're getting ready for a bowl game or a playoff game, you've got your early signing period, so you've probably, any moment you've got, you're jetting off to try to go into a living room to sign someone.
Yep.
You're coming back to practice to get your team ready for, you know, the biggest game of the season, especially if you're in one of those top programs. Right back to someone else's living room in another part of the country, back and forth. This is during the holiday season where, hey, you might have family, you might have kids. Well, we'll see you in
never. We'll see
celebrate
you never.
Christmas January 11th
after the bowl
we're all
game.
Done.
Yeah,
because we just don't have time in the month of December. It is an insane job. You know, Rocky Long seems to be among the more level-headed guys who do
guys.
It.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about the Aztecs as well. Rocky was on one yesterday trying to defend his team's season, and I respect him for it. I mean, what else are you going to do? 9 wins. You know, he's trying to make the case that that's a good year. We won 9 games.
It's a good year.
It's not a bad year.
It's not a bad year.
It's not a bad year. It's
but
not.
It's just what it is at this point. Yeah, we can talk about that.
So
I like that.
We got a lot of things to get to, but right now, first thing to get to, it's Hammer Time.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Stop. Hammer Time.
Good morning to you, Hammer.
Morning, fellas.
Good to see your smiling face, as
always.
Smiling.
Oh, thanks, guys.
I was interested to hear about your family, your brother, your sister.
Got a great family.
Very different sounding, like
My wife tracked down a picture of the Perlins, by the way, and sent it to me.
Legendary pitch.
Legendary pick. Look how attractive that family is.
Yeah, the sharp.
Sharp family.
Sharp family.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, what do you got for us this morning, Hammer?
So, if you don't know this about me, I'm a diehard Philadelphia 76ers fan. I've been this way since Allen Iverson got in the league. Fell in love with the guy the way he played basketball. Been a fan ever since. So, I do the NBA League Pass, $18 a month, so I don't miss a single 76ers game.
Love that about you.
During a 76ers game, they do this thing if they're playing in Philadelphia, that if the opposing team player misses both free throws, then everyone at the game gets free Frosty Freeze. Which is obviously one of the coolest things ever. I've been to a Frosty Freeze before. They're absolutely delicious.
What is it?
You mean a Foster's Freeze?
A Frosty Freeze. It's a Frosty Freeze. I think it's in the East Coast. Not a Foster's Freeze.
We used to have Foster's Freeze here.
I'm going
to
look it up.
They say Frosty's Freeze.
Frosty Freeze.
Yeah, which I've had before.
Okay.
Anyways. So, basically what I was thinking is, the Sixers are up by like 25 points when this went down. And I'm looking at this play. I was like, yo. He already missed his first free throw. It's not like he did it on purpose. So let's say that you're this player, right? There's like 2 minutes left in the game. Your team's getting crushed.
Right.
Do you miss this free throw?
On purpose.
On purpose. And I understand that you're on the opposing team. But if everyone in the stadium can get free ice cream, all because you miss, and like yours, so let's say you could be James Harden. Yeah, you already have 37 points.
Right.
What is 38 points really going to do for you, dog?
Well, yeah, James Harden's the wrong example because James Harden is probably going for a triple-double at that point, so you know he wants everything he can get.
James Harden, with that body type, you know he appreciates a good
Frosty
ice cream.
Freeze.
So, just saying, would you miss a free throw for the sake of everybody there?
Never.
Now, if I was the home team and we were up 30,
yeah.
I don't know why they'd have a promotion when the home team missed free throws that you've been ice cream.
Right?
But if I'm on the road team and I already get my butt kicked, I would really, the one thing I'd like is, well, at least I can disappoint this giant crowd of people.
Yes, yes.
I'm not here to please you. I'm here to disappoint
you. So you want to make that free throw.
Yeah.
But let's say you're a people pleaser.
Hammer, you played college football. Did you ever throw a play? You ever take a play off?
That's different, though. Because if I just feel like just the moment of like shooting a free throw, it's only 1 point. And the fact that everyone there is about to go nuts because watching a player miss the first free throw and then
the
entire arena starts going nuts. And then when they do miss it, the place just goes into a
complete think it is
roar.
That different,
they're,
though.
They're all making fun of you, though, because you missed it.
Picture this. Let's say, and this sounds plausible. A college football team has a promotion where if the crowd gets an opposing player to jump off sides because they're just screaming and yelling so loud that the whole crowd wins ice cream, your team's down 30, you're going to jump off sides on purpose,
no.
Take the penalty to help everyone win ice cream at the end of the game?
What?
There's no chance, Hammer.
That's what I'm saying. An act of
These
a free throw is so
different. They're professionals.
Plus, think about this as well. They're going to go into some sort of contract negotiation at the end of the season or in 2 years. And they're going to pour over every number, including that free throw percentage. And if it's the difference between you shooting 79.4 rounded down and 79.5 rounded up to 80%, you don't want to miss one of those.
That's
your livelihood.
Not for feeding clown fans in Philadelphia.
Whoa, don't
ice
call
cream.
Us clowns.
Us.
Yeah.
As he sits here in Mission
and
Valley.
It's not like, yeah, that's true. It's also not like Philadelphia fans have a reputation for being so kind-hearted
right.
that you really want to, well, let's help these nice people out. They've been so nice to me over the years as an opposing player in their stadiums and arenas that we want these people to win ice cream.
I absolutely love Hammer's team selections. I'm fascinated by it. I think it's great.
The 76 one's the actual one that I feel like I'm allowed to go out San Diego to pick a team.
Let me tell you. You're allowed to do whatever you want. You're allowed to root for whoever you want.
This is what my mom tells me.
You can't play fan police anymore. People love to play fan police.
Where are you from, man?
That's it. I mean, my dad at 10 years old got me into the Yankees, and I take a lot of grief for it. But that was our thing. And if my dad, like I said, if my dad was a Pirates fan, I'd be a Pirates fan today.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, whatever he liked, I liked.
The Pirates are the exception
I swear
to
God.
This rule.
I swear to God, man. Whatever he was into, I was into. But that's the whole thing is, like, where are you from?
Where are you from?
Now I just tell people, oh, I grew up in the Bronx. Yeah, I grew up in the Bronx.
And what do you want me to do? Like the Lakers? No, right. They're from Los Angeles.
Exactly.
Same with the Clippers.
Exactly. Hey, listen. Like who you like.
I do.
All right.
I like you guys.
Hammer, I like you too.
Nice job. Thank you very much.
Stop. Hammer time.
And good luck with your made man ceremony on Thursday.
I can't wait for
appreciate
this,
you guys
by the way.
Doing that on the day that I'm not
you
here.
Don't want some blood. You don't want to be a part
you know
of
me.
It.
I'm not the mafia guy here, so
shocker.
Not at all.
I can't wait.
I can't believe that Paul is already up and tweeting about sports
go
on his vacation day.
What are you doing?
5 o'clock hour, he's tweeting about the Padres' top 10 best games of the decade.
Get over yourself.
From AJ
Casavell. Just go to bed. Nobody wants to see that. He's probably listening, too.
Go back to sleep.
Don't call in.
Go back to sleep. Or you can stay tuned and listen to us to talk about the Erickson Profar trade the Padres pulled off yesterday. That's next on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.